Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Once our map recorded, the calls started rolling in, and I'll tell you why.
Right on time, just as expected.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that becomes public record, and then people say, okay, let's go for that.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in construction, real estate, and development? We pull back the curtain on the new home construction industry, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us for Trust the Process podcast, and let's build something great together.
Welcome back to Trust the Process, the podcast where we talk about the new home industry, construction, real estate, and everything in between. Back today, this topic came up with us in real time. Actually, it's a situation that we were just recently faced with and thought it would be an interesting topic to share with you. And that would be tonnage builders and how they acquire land or how they find out where land is available. As a small builder, obviously, we have to do a lot of due diligence to find these things. And there are some shortcuts that other builders are doing. And so interesting that we've been approached. And so wanted to share that with you guys. Thought it would be interesting. So, Michael, I'm going to let you take it away from here and kind of give us the backstory and a little bit of information on what you've experienced and what we've seen and kind of how they do it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it happened in real time. And I want to clarify, when we say tonnage builders, we just mean a publicly traded builder that you've probably seen signs for in your town. A lot of these builders are all over the country, or at least build in half the states, right? And they're backed by Wall Street and bond money. And I mean, they have a lot of capital behind them and they live quarter to quarter. So they're not so concerned about always how much they're going to make on each house. Many times they're concerned about how many rooftops they're going to add and how many homes they're going to close out for the year, because those are all things that drive their share price. So they live for their share price and we live more for our overall vision. And of course, we look at very carefully the margins on each individual house. Those are all very important when you're running a small home building firm. We don't have bond money. We have a limited amount of capital that we have to be careful with, right? And we have to put our efforts into things that are going to be very lucrative for the company and satisfy our overall vision and are going to excite us and get us out of bed in the morning. So that being said, they don't have the same standards when it comes to profitability, when it comes to the desirability of the parcels. What they're looking for a lot of times is turnaround time, quantities, and basically footprint. So we had a subdivision a year ago, the Serene project that was approved a year ago. And since then, we've been approached three different times by large tonnage builders or publicly traded builders. The last one, which was because we were the farthest along, we had all our utility laterals in and we looked ready to go. All the grading was done. Mind you, this is only six lots, but we had done a lot of work. And for, you know, to pull back the curtain, it was about a $700,000 worth of work. All the utility laterals, all the grading, everything. We had to demo a house that was there and remove the foundation. We had to abandon septic tanks because we densified this area. So we had done all that legwork. We had already had the map recorded. Once our map recorded, and I'll touch on this later, once our map recorded, the calls started rolling in, and I'll tell you why.
Right on time, just as expected.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that becomes public record, and then people say, okay, let's go for that. So what brought this to my attention or brought it up in conversation with you was that our last offer was as much margin. What we would have made on selling the six lots to this other builder is only about 20% short of what we plan on making for the entire project. So land plus improvements sold to this ex-builder would have been almost as profitable as land plus improvements, plus the houses, plus selling the houses, plus the margin on the houses. Now, could I be underestimating what we'll make on the entire project if we build it out? Possibly. I tend to go more conservative. I adjust for a 10% market correction. I adjust for 10% increase in cost of construction. So there's kind of about a 20% delta. So that could explain some of it. But there's a good chance that cost of construction ends up 5% higher, market comes down 5%. So it's probably not going to go from 20% fluff to zero. It's probably going to go from 20% fluff to like 10, 12% fluff. So there's always going to be something that was off, some sort of surprise and contingency in there. So that being said, we have a lot of fluff built in. But when you're seeing another builder coming in and saying, wow, how are they going to make any money doing this, giving us this kind of margin on these lots? Almost, they were offering us, almost $500,000 per lot with...
How is that possible for them?
This
like,
is
how
where...
How is that a people that fits?
A couple of things. So, because I racked my brain on this. I said, I could build 100 houses a year if I could spend that kind of money on lots, you know? But I think what it is that they do a lot of their repeating plans. They get a lot of volume discounts. They know exactly what those plans are going to cost. I've essentially removed all the unknowns for them because... I've done all the laterals. I've done all the approvals. I've done city council. I've done everything. And I think that's what it is that I've removed so many unknowns. The vertical cost of construction for them is basically, there's no unknowns in that as well because they built this, they're going to build two models and they built each of those models 500 times over the last 5 years. So I think that that's a big part of it. And then I think that comes back to just really their footprint and their numbers. Let's say they already have that Serene, for instance, is a low density, low slung product. They have a lot of, this particular builder has a lot of that exposure, or has a lot of that in their repertoire. And that's kind of one of their big product offerings. So if they could have an existing model 3 miles away and say, oh, by the way, we're not going to model over there, but you can use this model and we're going to take, you know, this is going to be part of it. We're going to annex it to this other subdivision from a marketing standpoint, not from a legal standpoint, but we're going to market against this. It has no HOA. And yeah, we can pay almost $500,000 because we're building at $80 a square foot and we can sell them for $400 a square foot, let's pretend. So they can basically give me that margin because they wanted the land. Now, I didn't accept that offer for many reasons. Number one, we're way too invested in this project. Number two, I'm not in the business of land improvement. I'm in the business of building houses. And I just it didn't feel right. I want to see it through. And we already had the homes designed. We've already got the marketing collateral. There was no way in hell I was going to let the almighty dollar win out all that work. And I'm far too passionate about this business to take an offer like that that would have been financially very lucrative and would have been a lot less stress because we would have been out of this project 6 weeks ago. We would have been done. We would have had our money. And that would have been it. I would have had to watch.
It is easy to imagine how some builders could get caught up in that and you know, kind of get gobbled up by the big guys because there could be a business model in that if you weren't passionate or if you weren't committed to seeing it through.
And some people don't even know what they would put there anyway. All they are looking at it as maybe they're passionate about taking gross land and making it look buildable. That mean people, you know, if that were your passion, you could have a full business in that, assuming you have the capital to do it because there's a lot of demand there. In fact, a good friend of mine who we bought one of our other subdivisions, he doesn't normally get them as far as we got Serene, but he had one teed up with a notice of final action from city council, shopped it to me, and we took it. And that is our Westridge product. I had to do everything else. We still have to get the utility plan, the civil improvement plans before they'll record that map. So that notice of final action expires in 2027. And I bought that Westridge product in May of this year. So he had about 2 years left. He was kind of saying, I either need to record the map or sell it to a developer who has enough time to record that map because city council actions are going to expire in 2 years. So we couldn't just sit on that. We got to at least get the map recorded, which we're doing. We'll probably have that map recorded in 3 months or so.
And we've been approached. We've been approached by one of those big builders again, even on that parcel.
Right. And it's nothing I'm interested in moving. I'm far too passionate about that one, especially. And then our Argos project that we took out of the city master plan and we took out of public zoning and into.
We haven't mentioned that one here yet. So that one will be new for us.
We haven't mentioned that. That's a maybe launching fall 26, sales in 27. That project, as soon as the city council did their notice of final action, that is public record. And there are builders and land brokers who just troll the notice of final actions on the monthly city council meetings and say, oh, this parcel got approved, this parcel got approved, this part. Okay, I'm going to go approach these guys. And I've gotten called. One guy called me, I'm not kidding, I would say probably 11 times, just checking in on you. Do you still want to develop it? And by the way, I mean, it's going to be hard for you to develop that. I've never heard of your company. You know, like, okay, that's fine. I mean, a lot of people haven't heard of my company, but I have. And I'm developing it. I know what I'm capable of. I'm not afraid of it. So I think that they use a lot of that. They think, oh, maybe this is just a landowner. I used a anecdote with you yesterday is that they're looking for land that has a pulse to it, because there's a lot of blank land out here, but they're looking for land that, oh, something's stirring over there. They've got a plat map record. They got a plat map in mind. They've got something designed. They're doing something. Let's figure out what this is. And if you're a land broker, for instance, you don't really care what it is, because you probably have a repertoire of buyers that you might call terribles and say, oh, it was rezoned for commercial, or, you know, C2 activity, outdoor activity, things like that. And I can shop this to drive-through pads and gas station pads and things like that. Or if it's a big parcel, maybe I can shop it to a big anchor tenant and do the accessory structures. So there's a lot of that. It doesn't always represent demand, because some of the calls were brokers that were looking to bring, you know, me and an end user together, even on the residential. Now, on the residential, they're shopping against big builders or some other local builder like myself who builds luxury homes and just says, you know what, find me parcels that are ready because I'm ready to go now. But I found it interesting, and it's been eye-opening, because if I ever did get burned out from developing and I wanted something that had basically zero liability, there's no recourse. I mean, you bought the land, here's the map. That's on you. I don't care about if your refrigerator dies in a year or you've got a leak in your bathtub. The things that we have to deal with, and from a warranty standpoint, there's no warranties, and it is lucrative. I mean, I don't think every deal would be a serene home run, but I mean, it's a lot. It's a big business, and there's a lot of margin there. Like I mentioned, my friend Mark, who just trolls landowners. I mean, just he's at step one, where he's just hunting out landowners, and has been in this town for 30 years. So he knows a lot of landowners and they're ready to go. Our Westridge project was that way. They called him. I have 2 acres. I want to get rid of it. And he said, wait, before we sell it, let's get a map drawn. Let's get notice of final action. The 6-month period that we went through on Argos, let's do that 6-month period and probably double your land value, because I wouldn't have paid what I paid for that land if I didn't have a notice of final action, because I would have never believed that they would let us do what we're doing there. And it's nothing crazy, but it's a small enclave. It's 6,000 square foot lots. They usually like to see larger half acre lots. It wasn't a no-brainer for the city to approve that. So the fact that he approved it, it not only saved me 6 months, but it saved me a hell of a lot of unknowns. And then they did another little thing, which was give me 5 months to basically have it under contract and work on the utility plan, the grading plan, basically all of the civil improvements that I didn't own the land yet. All I had was a non-refundable deposit out. It was as good as mine, but I didn't have to spend the $600,000 on the land yet. And I didn't have to do that until May. So I worked on it for 5 months till then and closed in May. And then now we're October. We still don't have a final map recorded. And they did a lot of legwork for me. So it really shows you the downstream, you know, the upstream, what that looks like to develop. To go. They worked on it for 6 months. I took the baton in January. It's now October, and we're not even going to have a final map recorded maybe till January, February, could potentially be later. So it really is astounding when to think it is about an 18-month process to get this going. So that being said, you can see why the farther down the road you are, the more valuable your parcel is.
Mm-hmm. More valuable it is. And the more opportunities to bail on it, right? So it's kind of a catch, because you've got more invested. Now you have a love for it. You're more in it, but the opportunities are greater. So
exactly. Right. And it's really comforting in a way, as long as that backstop demand stays there, that up until the 11th hour, you can probably bail on it and make money. Mm-hmm. So it is encouraging, and it is kind of a good and a bad thing, because it's a double-edged sword, because it encourages you to take on more development projects, You're saying, oh, worst case scenario, I can sell it once the notice of final action is approved. I can sell it once my utility plan is approved. I can sell it once my parcel map is recorded. I have all these off ramps that I can get rid of it if I decide not to see the whole project through or if something changes. So I get over my skis somewhere else. I could kind of bail on a project.
Mm-hmm. Just proves that each one is really a labor of love. And some of the time you see it and buy it and you're ready there. You know, people don't always know how much emotion has gone into that or how, you know, how much you have learned to love that project because you could have bailed on it and you didn't. You so
yeah, exactly. By the time you're going vertical, you've passed on several off ramps. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that one. I don't want that one. I want to see it through. It was good.
Interesting tidbit, something that somebody wouldn't typically know about it.
It's certainly something that 5 years ago, I didn't even know. I didn't realize that there was that much demand at every single stage. I figured that it was either raw land or completely done and ready, and that was the only place where there was demand, but I didn't realize all along that stream there's a lot of demand.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, now you know.
Well,
now
good.
Now you guys know. So thanks for joining us for another episode, and we will see you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.